This is Information Underground. Our website is www.info-underground.net. To contact us, send your email to theusualsuspects@info-underground.net. Welcome, everyone, to Information Underground. Here today are Deep Geek.
Hello.
And Klaatu.
Hi, everyone.
And Lost in Bronx. Now, the names we've just given to you are not the ones we were born with, strangely enough, except maybe Klaatu. We're not too sure about that. They aren't the ones we are even addressed by most of the time. Yet they are the ones we are best known by, the ones which most people in this world know us as. With the exception of family and a couple of friends and acquaintances here and there, no one who knows the name of Lost in Bronx can identify it with my face. It's that other name they know. Odd, then, that so very, very few people who know my day name, as it were, can identify me with it either. In fact, just about the only ones who can are the same people in real life who already know me as Lost in Bronx. So I have a legal name that few recognize and an online name that, well, maybe only a few more recognize. Okay, I'm a bad example. The fact is, if the online world has grown to have a significant presence in your life, then you likely are known by a particular identity or series of identities. Some people choose their day names. Some choose from a bunch of aliases, depending upon the exact venue or attraction or service they are participating in. And some of us choose just one alias and more or less stick with it. I've been Lost in Bronx since I started online back in the mid-90s. I'm the one and only. If you do an online search for Lost in Bronx, that's LOSTNBRONX, and you do that and you're searching for me. There isn't a crap load of results, mostly because I'm a poor networker, but there are some. And if you look a few pages in, you'll likely learn my day name. Ooh, can you hold your water, you private eye, you? It's not such a big deal to me, obviously. For the sake of some privacy, I keep the two distinct. But otherwise, I am he and he is me. I'll meet you at the top of the digital tree. And in fact, in order to gain some marginal spillover of recognition between the two of me, even this small distinction may evaporate, depending upon what projects I choose to pursue in the future. In other words, if I decide I want real life people to identify my day name with my online identity due to some accomplishment or other there, or vice versa, then I may be less obfuscating about it. Not that I am especially such anyway. And really, that's what I'm talking about when I refer to online identities, because so many of us are known by our account names. In many cases, I'd even guess in most cases, we're known by so many more people online by it than we are in real life by our day names. That these somewhat anonymous personas we've created are valid, or should be considered to be valid identities. In other words, who you say you are matters. The name you've gone by online, which may or may not be closely associated with your real-world identity, is at least as valid as a real one. It would hurt me greatly to lose it or to have it sullied by some digital scandal or online pissing contest. Yet if I chose to, I could stop all activity in Lost in Bronx's name and come up with something or some things new and start over from scratch, a fresh beginning. Many's the troll who've gone that route, but there are valid reasons to do so as well. But I say it would hurt me because the lion's share of my social life is online. And the majority of people whose opinions of me really matter to me are also online. And they know me as Lost in Bronx. The topic of online identity is a very complex and wide-ranging one, and it deeply involves privacy, security, and criminal issues, among others. These are fundamental and unignorable aspects of this topic, but they are not what I'm talking about at the moment, not really. What I mean, less than how others perceive you in the digital world is how you perceive yourself. I have a day name, but I am less that guy than I am Lost in Bronx. I'll respond to either. Well, depending upon the source, I might not respond at all. But Lost in Bronx trumps the other guy every time in several aspects of my world. Recognition, a measure of respect, a measure of camaraderie. These things are his province, and they matter greatly to me. Therefore, Lost in Bronx gets a fair share of my attention, and problems that concern his reputation do as well. In a way, while we've gone forward in this information age, forging new social and technological environs and mores, we've also had to reach back a bit. Back to an era when a person's identity oftentimes, and quite literally, had to be taken at face value. When a new person entering a new social, political, or religious environment could take a name and background more or less of their choosing. When a scandal or debt or something may have driven you out of one town, a new name could offer a new start in another. As such, within the social environment this person entered, their reputation became all important. Why? Because without driver's licenses, government-issued ID cards, credit cards, fingerprints, DNA testing, passports, visas, without these things, the only way anybody can verify who you really are is by watching and judging your actions. In this way, the exact name you go by is of less importance than the reputation that is associated with it. In modern times, identity theft is almost exclusively linked to matters of money. People steal your identity in order to steal your or someone else's cash or property. Well, that can hurt. It can hurt badly. But because of the many and sundry methods in place in the real world to concretely identify you, the damage to your identity and associated reputation is not ruinous, nor even especially long-lived. Not so in the series of tubes. Now, if Arrogant Hacksaw 123 gets known for his or her trollish behavior and general boorishness within certain online communities, that would be a tough thing to walk away from without a name or community change. Hacksaw's reputation is all-powerful in the digital worlds wherein he or she is known, since no other way of concretely identifying this person exists, at least for the average user. Certainly law enforcement and ISPs and such have their little magic spells to learn all the details, but for you and me, Hacksaw is Hacksaw because Hacksaw says he or she is Hacksaw. Because someone calling themselves Arrogant Hacksaw 123 was microblogging or was in this same forum yesterday, behaving very much like the Arrogant Hacksaw 123 who is doing so today. And that is all you can know about them, unless you launch some sort of personal investigation, which rather defeats the idea of a friendly community. Certainly, in an environment where passwords or encrypted keys are in place, a certain measure of confidence can be enjoyed on the question of a person's identity, but such things are not foolproof, nor are they meant to be. If someone else is typing away on Hacksaw's keyboard, all bets are off, and Hacksaw's real-world environment is neither known to us nor even learnable. Not really. Again, not without special and specialized effort. So for the vast majority of our interactions online, we take people's screen names to be real, or real enough, for that circumstance. Some people seem to believe that an online reputation should be nothing more or less than an extension of their real-world ones. They feel people should use their real names and talk about their real lives, otherwise they may not be, well, real. Also, there is no need for anyone living their online lifestyle this way to meld their reputations. That is, they only have one reputation to be concerned with. What they do online and what they do in the real world, it's all the same. This is a convenience, but it immediately brings up questions of privacy and security. If Hacksaw's real name is, say, Agnes Kaminsky of 123 Example Avenue, Sheboygan, New Jersey, USA, and she happens to live across town from me, and she's pissed me off one too many times, and I'm off my meds, Well, I'm only a bus ride away from making the headlines. Maybe Agnes is such an asshole online because she goes by an assumed name and figures, probably rightly, that she can get away with it. Or maybe she's such an asshole because she's just such an asshole. Either way, she has an online reputation that can bleed over into the real world, just like everyone. If she was Agnes Kaminsky 123 from the start, would she still have been such an asshole to everybody, since there was no mask at all? Well, if she's really an asshole, then yeah, she would be, because she can't well help it. By the same token, every single jerk of my acquaintance, every asshole, regardless of gender, age, ethnicity, culture, or absolutely anything else, they've all had one thing in common. They think everyone else is the asshole. It's never them. So maybe Haxor isn't the ass. Maybe it's me. But I'm off my meds, and mayhem can ensue. Haxor has a problem. We all have a problem. What would I like to see? Well, rather than melding the two worlds, I think we should be building up bigger walls between them. Tall, strong, nigh unscalable walls, but with big, strong gates that we can use to come and go, that we can use to step in and out of our different worlds and identities at will. How do we do that from a technical standpoint? I don't know. Certainly, the way things are right now, it's simply impossible. If you come out as your real world self, you can't take it back. All you can do is drop your current online identity, create a new one, and make a point of not associating your day name with it. Start over from scratch, in other words. And the online reputation you once had is consigned to archive.org's Wayback Machine, out of reach, now, and into the future. That's a lot of your life, maybe, to just toss away like garbage. It's time and reputation you cannot regain, so it might represent a considerable loss to you, maybe even a tragic one. Okay, my mouth runneth over, so here's the long and short of it. You can take a name and claim to be anybody, so it's not the name that matters so much, it's you, how you behave, what you do. The history you have built up in a community, that is who you are. That reputation is linked to a name that you go by, but it is precious and irreplaceable in its own right. And I believe we should start acting like it. And that is it. So, thoughts? Oh, okay. Well, that's it, folks. Glad you enjoyed it.
No. You know, you're not getting off that easy, but I don't want to be the first every single episode, so I'm trying to defer to Mr. Klaatu.
Well, I agree. 100%.
So I wrote that, quite a few months ago, so if I stumbled over it, you know, forgive me. At any rate, any thoughts, any opinions?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think you're exactly correct, and I think that the one of the exciting things about the internet in its most ideal form is exactly that you actually have to kind of prove yourself a little bit and build up a reputation so that people do develop sort of a trust and faith in who you are or what you're capable of doing. And I think that's a good thing, because like you say, today in real life, it seems like we depend so much on, well, either stupid stuff that people did, you know, in their college years or something, or, you know, I mean, or their family, you know, what their father did or something, you know, I mean, it's just like, there's so much that we get bogged down with on impressions, or even just our looks, you know? I mean, maybe someone doesn't like you because you look a certain way, and they just happen to not like that. Well, online, they don't know that. All these things. And then there's this false sense of security about, yeah, you know, let me see your driver's license, let me see your social security card, stuff like that. And it's just, it's phenomenal how meaningless all that stuff is compared to here's who I am, here's how I act, this is the type of person I really am.
I wanted to bring up the question of online identity and screen names. Now, obviously, they're not essentially the same thing, but they're closely related.
Sure.
And the idea, now something you mentioned in on GNU World Order.
Wait. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Is there a difference between screen name and handle here?
And online identity.
Screen name, they seem to be the same thing.
And handle, is it? Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page there. Thanks.
No, I mean, I'm using them interchangeably. I'm sure in some circumstances, you know, they probably have distinct meanings.
Well, absolutely.
In this case, screen name, handle, you know, login name, all of that, I'm using it interchangeably. I'm using it in the sense of, do you establish yourself in that way? You know, I say I'm Lost in Bronx, and when I log in as Lost in Bronx, that's who I'm representing. Now, if I'm doing a 10-minute mail sort of routine where because I want to read something that you got to be a member to read, or some stupid restriction, I'm not trying to be anybody in particular in that case, and I'm not worried about my reputation in that case. I don't really worry about it at all, but some things you do online do reflect back on who you say you are, assuming you care. If you are obtuse and you don't really realize what you say matters to other people, if you don't care what other people think of you, then you might, well go ahead and piss everybody off and never change your identity. But you're likely to be that sort of person in real life too. I mean, you're always going to have that. But I'm talking about people that actually care what other people, think about them. And by and large, I'm pretty flinty about that sort of thing. But I don't want people, when I log into the IRC, I don't want people, giving me the cold shoulder because they think I'm a jerk, because maybe I've been a jerk. I don't want to be that guy. And so I think reputations to an extent do matter, even to the most cynical or misanthropic of us. And as such, having a screen name associated with your identity, now that becomes a slightly different thing. Now, how does anyone know me from my, know my reputation from my screen name, from Lost in Bronx? Well, at this point, they don't. I mean, if they know me and they know anything about me, then they're one and the same. But someone like Klaatu, who under certain circumstances has become not Klaatu for very practical reasons, that was not a transition that was made overnight. It was one that was introduced. So now he's known by both names, but they're both linked to his reputation.
I wonder what it would be like to foster another handle quietly, apart from my persona as Deep Geek, and, do this and that with it, no big deal, and just have it there, just in case I ever want to disappear from the Deep Geek moniker.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing that very many people think about for the real world, don't they? Not necessarily for nefarious reasons, but just to have a break from maybe all the crap in their lives. They may have many things in their lives that they value very highly and would never part with, but there might be a lot too that they don't always want to deal with. And I think the online world can, to an extent anyway, can mimic that, can mirror that. I was thinking not long ago about what it would be like. Now, again, this wouldn't work too well for me because my reputation isn't necessarily one that, I'm not known as a techie guy, and I don't have a really strong built-up reputation necessarily anywhere, but for someone who is well known for a certain thing, maybe for being a technical expert, right? What would it be like for that person to go on to their same usual forums or channels or, microblog groups or whatever under a different name and start making the same sorts of statements that they would or felt free to do in the under the name that has the great reputation. Would they get the same reaction? You know, there are certain people that when they say something, we tend to believe it. You know, we tend to take it as, you know, at face value because this person has a great reputation. That same person with that same amount of knowledge and experience under a different name, making the exact same statement, what kind of reaction do they get in the same community? Well, it's probably quite different.
Yeah, I think you're right to some degree. I mean, like if Linus Torvalds says something about the Linux kernel, even when it's negative, which he's done before, then we all sort of like nod and agree and think, oh, yeah, well, of course. If he said that online with some other identity, we'd probably flame him for being negative and not understanding the kernel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, people do it to him anyway, just do it.
Right.
You know, there are people that presume to argue with him about kernel issues.
Well, actually, with Linus Torvalds, the interesting thing is when he wants to argue about kernel things, sometimes he does it inside the kernel source code, so that only other people working on the kernel source code see the argument.
Yeah, yeah.
He's known for that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, doesn't that make sense? Because then the only people that are going to have privy to that conversation are people who actually know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in his position, having to, you know, waste your time and your attention talking to people that have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, but still feel, you know, they have the perfect right to bring their opinion to the plate. You know, I mean, he doesn't have the time for that. He doesn't have the attention or the interest in dealing with that. And I think few of us really would in his position.
I think the geek community tends, at least in my somewhat limited experience, I think the geek community seems to be pretty bad about that. You know, you walk into a room of five geeks, and there's one geek always. There's one guy in there who knows everything about every subject. And even when he doesn't know everything, he still thinks he knows everything, and he talks like he knows everything, you know. And if you're just the quieter, more knowledgeable person, then you get trampled on by this person who just claims to know so much more. And I don't know if people actually listen to him or not, but you know that there's always that one guy.
Well, the so-called expert syndrome. I mean,
yeah,
you'll find that in almost every community where technical knowledge matters. You know, it's pretty common knowledge that I'm a home brewer. You know, I like to make mead and such. You won't find a bigger collection of arrogant bastards than you will in the homebrew community. People who know it all because they've done it forever and they've got awards and they've got this and they've got, and they can be the biggest dicks you have ever in your life met. not all of them. That's a gross generalization. There's some beautiful, beautiful people here. But, you know, I mean, some of them are the biggest assholes you'll ever, ever encounter in the world because I don't know what it is, but they feel they have a certain elite knowledge that sets them apart. And woe be to anyone who has the nerve to argue with them or has the nerve to come into their private channels or their personal forums and express an opinion that goes counter to theirs. You know, I mean, there's this, you know, concept of the private club that you can run into, and you can run into it in any community. But the idea is you go into, say, a homebrew shop, right? And I'm using that just as an example. You go into a homebrew shop and you ask for a particular kind of yeast because you're going to be doing something. And they say naturally, because they want to strike up a conversation or seem like they want to, you know, oh, what are you making? So you tell them and you'll get, what are you crazy? You don't use that kind of yeast for that sort of thing. Yo, da, da. And it can go on and on and on. And the guy will make a vague wave at all these awards and ribbons that he won at all these homebrew competitions. And, you know, the reason being, all of it boils down to the fact that you didn't ask this guy his opinion.
Right.
And if he does express his opinion to you and you dare to disagree with him, you are now on his permanent shit list. You went into his private club and you didn't kowtow. And that happens everywhere. everywhere where there are human communities, you will run into that crap. And the geek world is no different. You know, you'll have people who set themselves apart with their knowledge and their experience, and they can do no wrong. And if you try to disagree with them, some of them, most of them, are extremely intelligent people. I mean, really, really smart. Are they wise? That's a different story. Okay. They may have very, very bad personal skills, you know. So maybe they do know exactly what they're talking about, and they have no way to properly express themselves. So they come across as the biggest flaming assholes you've ever met, when what it really boils down to is nothing more than opinion. You know, because as we know, in the tech world, there's generally a dozen different ways to do a thing.
Sure.
You know, so you walk in and say, how do I do such and such? You know, I'm thinking of doing this. Well, maybe what you want to do will work, you know, but the expert will hoot you down and tell you it's the wrong way, or it's not the best way, or it's not best practice. You know, you're going to get it. You're going to get that any, you know, everywhere. And their reputation, going back to the reputation thing, their reputation in certain circumstances, in certain communities, allows them to get away with that crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, so reputation isn't always a great thing.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of reputation, one of the things that really kind of got me was when you were saying how if the Lost in Bronx reputation was damaged in any way, erroneously or whatever, it would hurt you. And I was thinking of extending that even beyond that, and even what Deep Geek was saying about getting away from Deep Geek for a little while in an imaginary situation. If any of us were forced to stop signing in or representing, you know, Klaatu or Lost in Bronx or Deep Geek, you know, essentially those personas were to die. You know, the world would hear no more from Lost in Bronx, Deep Geek, or not Klaatu. I mean, I know that if it was me and I couldn't be Klaatu anymore, you know, that would really kind of hurt. It would feel like someone had died or something, you know. I mean, it was that Klaatu is sort of a very, I don't know, it sounds very schizophrenic, I guess, but maybe it's more like an actor and an act or whatever, but, you know, it feels like this person exists or something. You know what I mean?
Well, we tend to personify them beyond just a name or a reputation. Because, you know, in my case, in your case, probably, our screen names are separate from our daily day-to-day lives. You know, when someone, right. You know, when people in your job speak to you, do they say Klaatu? Well, maybe they do. I don't know. But, you know, no job I ever had did anyone ever say Lost in Bronx to me. And the point is that you have to see them separately because they are separate. You know, they are separate personas.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens in one doesn't always or necessarily carry over into the other because we very carefully separated the two.
Right.
Now, that makes the point, going back to some people who don't make that separation, you know, who they are online is the same person they are in the real world, or at least they link them strongly. You know, there are people like Dan Washko, like Pat Davila, those guys,
Chess,
you know,
Griffin.
They, you know, they make no bones about it. This is my show. This is my online persona, and this is me in the real world. And they don't make a distinction between the two,
yeah.
You know, necessarily. As we know, you know, some of the behavior on Tilts and other shows would not be accepted in normal everyday communities, you know, in the real world.
Sure.
But,
sure, yeah.
You know, the point is that it's like a private club in some ways, you know, where they can come in and hang their hats up and relax and be, you know, comfortable with their friends.
Yeah.
That isn't radically different than having a club you go to and you're able to say the things that you're not able to say in the real world. You're able to talk about things that are quite distinct from the interests or the responsibilities you might have in the real world. You join the Lions Club, perhaps. Everybody knows your name. There's no fake name involved. But the things that you express, the opinions you put forward, and the interests that you pursue while you're there at the club might be very, very different than everything else in your life. And that is exactly why you're there, so you can do those things.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
You know, what a lot of this reminds me of is Facebook. It makes me think about that stuff. Because I run around with a crowd that's a little bit older than myself, and so they don't have the same sensibilities as people who are as immersed as we are in this whole online game. And they're on Facebook, and they're all using their real names.
But you see, there are people who are, much more savvy than me who do the same thing. They don't make a massive distinction between, their online
But
reputation and the real world reputation. They have merged them. And that's a different take on things to an extent. Pat Davila, I'm not sure I've ever run into a more plain spoken man than that. I mean, Pat will tell you exactly what he thinks. He won't go out of his way, he won't be rude, but he's not going to pull his punches either. Pat says it the way he sees it. Okay? And he says it online, and I'll bet you cash money he would say it to my face, whatever it happened to be. He's just that kind of guy. Whereas I might say something to your face as Lost in Bronx that in the real world, maybe I feel too intimidated or feel it's inappropriate for me to bring up. I don't know. I've never been in that position, but I can imagine myself being that weak-willed in that situation. And that is just an extension of my personality.
Well, that's interesting.
That's just who I happen to
That's
be.
interesting because I couldn't say that about myself. Like, I mean, I'll say the exact same thing.
Yeah, I have the opposite. I think I'd be more careful about what I said online than I would in the real world.
Well, it's just, again, it's just a matter of perception and where you feel you have the most to lose, basically. Where the rebound of your words might hit you hardest.
That you know what really bears on this for me, Lost? You know what really bears for me on list is when you were talking about what were you saying? When you were talking about how your looks are taken as a certain way, as a certain given. And I've always felt since a very, very young age that my looks were in my way, that I've always wanted to be known for what I thought and the things I did. And so for me, like the online world is the perfect fit, Lost in Bronx, because they don't know what I look like. I mean, I see my nieces tagging photos with names of them and their friends on Facebook, and I just cringe like you wouldn't believe, because for me, if someone knew, it's almost like the Batman and Robin cliche. It's like, how could we fight crime if they knew what we who we really were, Batman, But it's like
Well, I think, that for people who grow up with an internet intact, as opposed to those of us who grew up where such a thing did not exist, they're going to have a very, very different perspective on this than you and I do. And I think that their concept of the online world and the real world are going to be a lot more blurred than I personally see them. I try to keep a distinction. Again, I reserve the right to connect my real world with my online world at some point if I want to, at least to some extent. That's only because I want to have it all. I want my cake and to eat it too. So I want the opportunity to do that if it's to my advantage at some point. But there are some people who don't see that great a distinction between the two of them. I mean, the digital world is not a separate world for them. It's just an extension of their lives. It's just another thing that they do. You go to cheerleading practice, you go to school, you go to church, you have a part-time job, and you go online and you have interactions with your friends. And none of it is a massive distinction. It's all your life. And those things are different, very different than how I live my life right now, and I'm likely to live it till to the day I die, because I grew up in a time where such a thing didn't exist. So when it began to come into being, when the internet began to, rear its head in my life, naturally, the worst possible things that could happen are the things that you hear about the most. So you naturally get more concerned about that. Now, I think there's always going to be people who want a separate identity from the real world. Maybe because the real world isn't that great. Maybe because what they do online, you know, is so unconnected to what they do in the real world. There's no reason to link the two. But I think more and more.
Well, you know, that begs the question, Lost in Bronx. Have you ever experimented with alternate identities in the real world?
No, I haven't.
What about you, Klaatu? Have you?
Unless you count, like, you know, you go up for a pizza and they ask for your name so they can call it out. I might not give them my real name. But other than that, no.
But you see, you just admitted it. You have.
Okay.
All right, but it's like certain diseases that are called spectrum diseases, where in this case you've dabbled. You know, you have dabbled. When I was in college and I was a fan of the James Bond movies, I went the whole road and fostered a whole new set.
Well, I've read about, you know, that.
And it was a novelty for me. It's not like
exactly, yeah.
You know.
I mean, I've read about that. I've read books on the topic, but I never pursued it because I couldn't see any advantage to it. I'm not a thief. I'm not a con man. No matter what my identity is today, my morals haven't changed. So I'm not going to, you know, now that I have the ability to disappear, I'm not going to use that to steal from people because it's just not something I want to do. So it had no advantage for me. So I didn't pursue it.
Yeah, you see, for me, it's the idea of a criminal use of false identity is the most boring thing in the world, and the idea of a non-criminal use for varying amounts of identity is the most fascinating thing in the world for me. But you know what? I was surprised that you didn't address Lawson Bronx. You didn't touch upon gender bending.
Well, I think it's all one and the same, to be honest, because again, online you can be, as I said, you can be anybody.
Well, did you?
You know, if you want to be female, if you want to be male, you can have your own reasons for doing it. You can do it for personal security. You can do it if you're, say, you're a female coder, and we know what kind of crap they get. You know, you might take a male persona or a gender neutral persona. And because you just don't want to deal with the bias, you don't want to deal with the come-ons, and you don't want to deal with the comments. That's fine. You can do it for whatever reason. But the point is, you can be anybody for any reason. You know, that's fine. It's your reputation that matters. If I want to take on a female persona because maybe there's something inside me that wants to express myself in that way, right? Or I just want to see what it's like to, you know, to be approached from that, you know, from that side. Not because I'm trying to trap anybody, not because I'm trying to fool anybody, but because I want to be perceived in that light and see what it feels like. I could do that.
Yeah, you're fooling around and playing with it.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, what I'm saying is
in the hypothetical.
If you wanted to live your life that way online, you could. But the fact is, at the end of the day, it isn't about people, you know, like you posting some random picture you found on the internet and saying that's you. Because you'd have to if you're going to start, you know, or you'd have to start. I mean, in the end, taking a female persona means to lie to some extent if you're not a female, right? Because the moment you say you are a female or, present yourself as one, that's not true.
Yeah, but how much about any online persona is true? I mean, I think it varies, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. It's fine for you to you know, make it all up. It doesn't really matter because it's how you behave to other people while you're online that really matters.
Right.
You know, I mean, I could tell you I'm blonde haired, blue eyed, I stand 6'5" and I have a Greek god physique.
I believe, you know, it.
And naturally you'll be skeptical. You'd be skeptical, but
I actually thought you were a female.
You'd have no way of knowing without pursuing it, you know, without really searching, you'd have no way of knowing. And what difference does it make? You know, if I'm not trying to push that on anyone, if I'm not using that to my advantage and I hurt people, what difference does it make what I take?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if I do that, if I do hurt people with it, that sullies my reputation. You know, so things that don't matter, who you, you know, what gender you are, what you look like, what race you are, what your religious views are, provided you're not using them to hurt other people, what the hell difference does it make?
Yeah, and you know,
because
you're right, because it's the same thing as you said with the pizza. You know, the pizza guy wants to call your name when your order is done. You know, it's so you said your name is Jack. You know,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. You're not. It's technically a lie. It doesn't matter though in any way whatsoever because it's so trivial. You know, but I mean, I found the idea of the gender thing interesting because, well, first of all, Klaatu used to joke with me about it.
I did.
Yeah, don't you remember when you used to tell me that that Skrillet was really you run through a voice synthesizer?
Oh no, I don't. But yeah, that's
you
funny.
Don't remember doing that to me?
No, that's absurd. Did you believe me?
Huh?
Did you believe me? That's crazy.
No, I never believed you on that one.
All right.
But you do like to rib me.
Yes, I do.
But I mean, I happen to have done it because at one point I wanted to see what my, you know, my nieces, make sure no one inappropriate was friending them on MySpace, and I found it useful toward that end. Not like you said, not that I wanted to hurt anyone or present or anything. I just needed to be there in that shape for a while was all that was about. But you know, I actually knew a guy who actually considered gender reallocation surgery, and part of that process was he had to live as a woman, basically in drag, for a period of time. I don't remember what it was in the real world, and to see if he could take that change before they would consider doing it. So you know, I mean, so I'm just particularly fascinated on this point.
See, that to me, it's a bit of field from what I'm talking about, because in the real world, obviously, when you make it's like in some ways, it's like Klaatu becoming not Klaatu in certain communities. You know, he had technical reasons because there's a crap load of Klaatus out there, yeah. And he doesn't want to be confused with any of those guys. Why? Because he's got a reputation that he wants associated with him. You know, so by taking that step and saying, I am known as not Klaatu, you know, well, it's easy enough to figure out, so it's not going to throw anybody. But what if not Klaatu was popular too, and he had to come up with something else? You know, he had to, I don't know, come up with Robbie the Robot or something.
Well, there's a number of deep geeks out there, you know.
Yeah, are there really?
Yeah, there are. It's actually my particular handle comes from an old book called the Cyberpunk Handbook, Cyberpunk Fake Book. It's actually a classification of a kind of geek. And so there's actually, I found at least two, one on MySpace, one on Twitter. And I think I found some guy who does movie reviews, you know, and uses that too. So there's actually, you know, a couple of deep geeks out there on the interwebs.
They don't seem to cross paths with you, though.
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, and I don't see a problem with it, but you know, I wonder if they do, you know, because you know, I had the guy on Facebook actually acted as if he was licensing me to use the handle, you know, which I found amusing, and I just kind of went with it, you know. But you know, otherwise, yeah, you're not crossing paths, and who knows, and you know what. I mean, in this upcoming day and age, because what the youngins don't realize is that when they go to apply for a job, that their pictures of them dancing drunk with girls in college are going to come out of Facebook to haunt them when they apply for jobs. You know, I don't mind if some amateur personnel bureaucrat down the road doesn't know which deep geek I am. You know, if they were ever to even come close to that.
That brings up another element that I did not talk about.
Yeah.
And that is the idea of having no reputation or a very little reputation. Now, if I went into the professional world, whatever it happened to be, if I applied at a place where they do online social network searches, you know, about you when you apply, they're not going to come up with much for me. And I will be held in the same kind of suspicion that in the old days, when you're a new face in a small or closed community and no one knows anything about you, I will be held in that same kind of suspicion. Because they don't know me. I am a completely unknown element. And if they haven't heard about me, they are likely to assume the worst.
Unless you choose to leverage your online accomplishments. If you're proud of your reputation, then you can do that on your resume. So, I mean, that's exactly why I ever came up with Klaatu. I mean, it was just my current employer at the time, I know, wouldn't have liked me talking about Apple computers in the way that I talk about them. So it was Klaatu who was doing it. It was a very thin veil of you know, identity changing, but I mean, it was just enough. You know, it was just me not admitting to being who I, you know, my other name. And that was the reason. But since then, I've absolutely taken credit for all the stuff that, you know, Klaatu has done.
Really?
Oh yeah, of course.
That's fantastic to hear. I never heard that kind of a story before. I always hear the nightmare stories. I'm so amazed to hear that.
Well, again, it goes back to your reputation. You know, I mean, think back. Now, don't tell us stories, but Deep Geek, think back on the things that you have done under the handle of Deep Geek online. How much of that are you really ashamed of? Now, you've been outspoken, you know, and you might have to back up or take the responsibility for those statements in the past. But how much of that is really bad, you know? Well, if you've done bad things, they might come back to haunt you. I mean, that's true anywhere, you know? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your reputation.
Yeah.
About what matters in the, you know, the name is just a name. It's what you're doing with other people online and what you're doing to yourself online. That is the part that everyone cares about, you know. So Lost in Bronx doesn't have a Facebook.
You know, not everyone. Not everyone. And to make it a better statement, it's you know, we have to acknowledge that we might be of the same kind of person because we are the users of the online split ID thing. Because, you know, I mean, it depends on the people. I mean, I think the coolest thing in the world is to, you know, be a net personality. And when I'm out in the shopping center, I think the coolest thing in the world is that I'm just another body in the crowd. And that's me. And I know people who have the opposite. They don't care about their online, but ooh, they want all their friends to see them out in public. You know, so I think it's a matter of personality and what you personally perceive as cool and where you want to put your eggs in the basket when it comes to the reputation.
Well, it also brings up elements of celebrity and how you see celebrity and what celebrity really is. You have a certain online reputation and you have a certain number of subscribers. You know, I'm not sure you'd call them fans, but they like you enough to listen to you over and over and over. So maybe they are fans. I don't know. I mean, that's probably just a minor distinction. My point is you enjoy the kind of reputation and attention that you get there. Well, you should, because you've earned it. You know, no one handed it to you. You know, you've earned every bit of your reputation. In the real world, do we want that sort of thing? Well, I don't know. But again, that's celebrity, and that's a conversation on its own, and what celebrity really means. And I've actually thought about that, not in my own terms, because I am not one, and I don't believe I ever will be one. But I have seen people go from obscurity to celebrity. You know, in our minor online community, in this little, you know, free software podcasting community, this tiny, tiny bubble that we live in every day, the three of us and many others, you know, we know that on the scale of things, it's very, very small. But we've seen some people who have gone from shows that are not known and no one listens to becoming very, you know, well known in their little pond. And that also is an extension of their reputation. You know, so now whenever they do anything or say anything, it gets thrown everywhere. And they have to oftentimes defend offhand comments that are meaningless in and of themselves, but someone is in a snit over it, and it affects the reputation. You know, so celebrity also may have a factor in it. And the fact that I'm obscure, that very few people really know me, even within this community, you know, I can probably get away with being a bigger jerk than some other people can.
Well, I mean, you know, when you talk, you use the word celebrity, I wonder how loaded that word is, Lost in Bronx, because, I mean, you know, I'm thinking of what's that actress? She was on reality TV, one of the first reality TV shows with Lionel Richie's daughter.
I have no idea.
Paris.
The Hilton heiress. What's her name?
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton. Because you know, I hear the word celebrity, I think of Paris Hilton. And you know, it was really funny the other day because I was reading up on the I Can Stalk You robot over on Twitter. And actually, Paris Hilton twit-picked a picture of the police arresting her stalker in her backyard through the glass door. And from that, the I Can Stalk You robot decoded her location to a Google map, and the guys who wrote the robot knew exactly where her house was located because she had given away identity without knowing. But, I mean, the benefit that we have as net personalities is that a real world personality like Paris Hilton, if she tries to stop being Paris Hilton tomorrow, it's quite attached to her look. Whereas if one of the three of us were to stop being a celebrity for how much that's worth in the world of audio casting on the interwebs, we would be able to completely walk away from it and disavow of it totally.
I don't think celebrity's the right term there for us.
Well, again, you know, it's just a matter of scale. You know, we could do that. Could Leo?
Well, do you really think that if one of us was listened to by 50,000 people, that we couldn't walk away from?
Well,
it?
I think.
And do you think people would recognize our voices or something?
If all we were voices and, you know, and everything. But when you get to a certain level of popularity, there becomes an unavoidable bleeding between the real world and the online world. I mean, because you now to get popular, you have to do things like show up in person at conventions, and you have to, you know, hold online events that are streamed live and all this other stuff. It becomes more than just a weekly podcast when you become that popular. And if it is still just podcasts, it's it's like an explosion. It's everywhere. You're Leo Laporte, you know? That guy is, you know, he's an audio personality. You know, I mean, like him or hate him, that's what he is. And he's got a tremendous amount of popularity.
Yeah, I think.
And could he walk away from all of that without any of it ever touching him again? I doubt it. He could do it a hell of a lot easier than, say, you know, I don't know, whoever, you know, some TV talk show host. But that's because people know what you look like. I mean, and his face is pretty well plastered everywhere, too. But only some people would recognize him on sight from his, you know, headshots or whatever. So, you know, it's a scale. It's a scaling factor, and it's a matter of the medium. But, you know, again, when your reputation becomes intertwined with this, you know, celebrity, well, the celebrity becomes a separate person, you know, a separate thing. And in a way, to be you have to work at being a celebrity. Either you do or somebody does it for you. You have to be a created thing. You become a product.
Yeah.
And that product is a brand, or it represents a brand that has to be sold. Leo Laporte, there's a real Leo Laporte. He's a regular guy who goes to the bathroom and has breakfast. He's a regular guy. Mm-hmm. But there's also Leo Laporte, the audiocaster, you know, or what did he call him, netcaster, whatever the hell it was. That is not the real Leo Laporte. That is a brand that he is pushing. The brand allows him to make money. In his case, it's you know, it's his bread and butter, you know. So the brand is being pushed. Well, there are others I could point to in our little community who have to do the same. Now, maybe they're not making any money off of it, but in order to gain a certain level of celebrity, they have to sell a brand. You know, and maybe it's done with blog posts and, you know, personal appearances and all sorts of networking, but they're pushing themselves and the projects that they're involved in for their own, either their own gain or the gain of the project. And I'm not saying anything good or bad about it, because it all depends on who you are and what you're trying to do. But my point is that your reputation begins to become a separate thing from just you expressing yourself when you get to a certain level of celebrity. So your reputation can be hurt very badly through very minor things like, you know, inappropriate photographs. But it isn't necessarily an extension of your own personal reputation. That is to say, Lost in Bronx. Now, if I do something that makes me very, very popular, now I gotta freaking worry about what I say, or else it might damage my bread and butter, you know, assuming I'm trying to make money off of this. So now I can't speak my mind, because it might, you know, it might turn into dollars and cents that I'm not making in my pocket. It might turn into litigation, because I'm popular, people think I have money, and now I'm a lawsuit target, you know. When you get to that level, it isn't a matter of personal reputation necessarily. And that's why you have to separate those lives.
Well, I was going to say,
you know, it becomes much, much more important in that case and a lot harder to do.
Good point. Good point. What were you saying, Clatu? You were trying to get in there for a sec?
That's okay. I was going to say that I think that Deep Geek, your question actually assumes a little bit more maybe than realistic, that this online identity thing is actually all that much of a shield, because I think that, I mean, in very, very few cases do people who jump online with a quote-unquote assumed identity, I feel like they don't really keep that, you know, their sort of their identity all that cloaked for very long. I think that people start to get an idea of, I mean, if someone wanted to find them from their online identity, I think in a lot of cases they really could. I just don't think, especially if you're at all known within any community, you start to.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point, and Clatu, as working toward an answer to that, you know, when I started online, my handle was the first letter of my first name and the first syllable of my last name, and then it got more anonymous with made up names, and then it got a handle. And now I'm looking at, you know, can I hide behind a corporation just to make it harder for anyone trying to break it? You know, and yet it's funny, because I've gone to cons just like you have, and I've met people as my handle. So if someone wanted to find me, they could go to a con and find me.
Right, yeah.
And have bodily access to me, you know, so... I don't know. How's that sit with that?
Not to interrupt, but again, when you start making a distinction, you have to bring in the concept of privacy and security. And as we both know, those are two separate things. You know, if you're concerned about your safety, either your personal safety, your financial safety, or whatever, you have to take steps, whatever steps you feel are necessary to feel comfortable. You know, that's the truth in the real world. If you live in a community and you feel perfectly comfortable with not locking your doors at night, you can go ahead and do it. And maybe it would bother you to lock your doors at night, because now you feel you live in a community you don't trust. You know, there are people there, and there are still places in this country where that's the case. I live in one right now, you know. But I moved here from New York City, so you better believe I lock my doors at night.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been going on for quite a bit for this, but, you know, since you speak about locking doors, you know, I used to own an antiquarian bookstore, and it was shocking to me and my insurance person as to how little the theft insurance was. But the truth of the matter was is that for some mysterious reason, bookstores just happened to be invisible to the people who like to rob stores. And one day I forgot to lock the store, and I just went on my way away and came back, and the jewelry store guy was like, "You forgot to lock your door." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he couldn't believe it. I tried to explain it to him. He's like, he goes, I can't believe it. I have a jewelry store. Forget about it. He just shook and walked away, you know, in that strip mall I was in.
So I don't know. I mean, it's funny. Now, I wanted to mention something that Klaatu brought up on GNU World Order not too long ago. The idea of people who know your real name and who know your online identity and who maybe, you know, you naturally normally associate them with their online identity, and they start talking to you with your real name, and it throws you.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, not, I mean, first off, it might be uncomfortable or embarrassing because you don't necessarily know how to relate to them under this context. But secondly, it's because you're like, what do you want to talk to? You know, say your name is Joe Smith. What do you want to talk to Joe Smith for? What does he have to do with you? You know, I mean, Joe Smith has got nothing to do with you, but, you know, whatever. Arrogant Hacksaw 123, he's got everything to do with you. And I've been talking to you for years. You know, I mean, what do you care, you know, about my car or my, you know, where I shop or any of this other stuff? Because none of it has any bearing on not just the reputation, but the relationship that I have enjoyed with you or with a community. You know, it becomes very odd, very, very strange. And I think there is, you know, again, for some people that doesn't exist. You know, I mean, you can, you know, call, you know, a whole bunch of people who do podcasting, audio casting, whatever, you know, by their real names, because that's the name they go by. You know, you go up to Leo Laporte and you say, Leo, you know, well, you would, that's how you would address him on the show. And that's how you'd address him in real life. He doesn't have that feeling.
Well, you know, I think I was listening to the Belgian audiocaster Nightwise, and he,
Nightwise is awesome. That show rocks.
I do prefer his audio over his other projects though. But he was talking, he was relaying a story once where he and his wife, and he and his wife both have handles, were sitting at the dinner table with family, and all of a sudden he wanted to say something about computers, and him and his wife just accidentally slipped into calling each other by their handles over the dinner table with their family. And the family just like freaked over it, you know?
That's funny.
That's good.
Well, I think part of the online identity thing too, and the handles and all that. I mean, part of it, like you kind of hinted toward earlier, Lost in Bronx, it's really a focus factor. It's like, well, yeah, I'm online, I'm in this certain club, I'm in a computer club, and forget the anonymity and stuff, because obviously we're saying that doesn't really matter. But there's still the feeling that when I come here, I'm in my computer club. So when someone asks you a question outside of that focused sort of realm, then yeah, you do get thrown off just because you're like, well,
yeah,
why do you care about where I live or how I live or whatever? Because it doesn't have to do with a kernel or a computer.
Yeah. And well, conversely,
I even start to get a little suspicious about that sort of thing. I mean, I start to become more protective of Lost in Bronx than I do of my real world, you know, concerns, you
but,
know.
But I've had the situation where in the middle of with real life people I know face to face, where someone would refer to me by my handle just because they knew it in relationship to a computer question, and it would make me feel internally more comfortable, because for me the tech show and the handle are aligned in such a way in my personality that just that thing, just all of a sudden I felt more comfortable, more assured, because when asking me a tech question, the person I knew in real life, who knew both my identities, addressed me by my handle in the real world, and it just made me feel so much better, you know?
Yeah, kind of like you could flip that bit in your brain, you know, be like, okay, yeah, I am the computer expert, so I guess I'll talk like one now.
Yeah.
Well, there's a convenience factor in the whole thing too. I mean, if you're in a crowded room full of geeks at a convention or at a club or something like that, I mean, say there's like 50, 60 people in there and your name is Bill and someone turned and said, hey, Bill, how many heads are going to turn around, you know? But if they say Deep Geek, only one is turning around.
Or maybe three.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay. But you know, my, you know my point. I mean, yeah, just I the idea
I'm just
that,
yeah.
And it goes back. I'm the only Lost in Bronx. If I go to any, you know, of the big free software, you know, conventions anywhere, if anybody knows the name Lost in Bronx, and I say I am that guy, they're going to associate my face with that reputation. Now, that first off, I admire both of you guys just for going ahead and doing that. And I don't know how you felt when you were first going to a show or to a convention, and you know, you're going to take that leap into the real world with this online persona. But I know I would have some hesitation about that. Now, I'm not in a position where I'm ever, you know, at least in the conceivable future, going to do that. But at some point, maybe, who knows, that might happen. And if that was the case, I know I would feel uncomfortable. And I don't know exactly how I would react the first time people say, "You're Lost in Bronx."
Yeah, well,
it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the attitude of the people around you. I mean, and I'm sure that for Klaatu as well as myself, it was a very welcoming situation. So, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Well, I was going to geek conventions with the handle Klaatu for a long time. I mean, that wasn't really, you know, I mean, way before anyone knew the name like Klaatu or knew my show, so.
Yeah,
it wasn't a big deal.
Well, I mean, in my particular case, in anyone's case, but in mine, it obviously is going to depend on my reputation.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm a trollish asshole, then you know that you're Lost in Bronx is not going to have a good connotation to it.
Right.
But I would get that no matter where I was, whether they were saying it to my face or whether they were saying that in a chat room, you know, and you get frozen out. I mean, we could name a couple of handles who, you know, people who are not either well regarded or who are considered pains in the asses wherever they go.
Right.
And, you know, that sort of thing is going to follow you. So if that same person went to a convention and said, "I am this person," you would be like, "Oh, Jesus," you know, and you'd want to leave, you know, you'd freeze them out there too, you know. Their reputation, you know, will have preceded them, obviously, because you knew them in the online world, and now you're extending that same reputation into the real world. And maybe, and I've run into this before, there are a lot of people who don't express themselves well with the written word. You know, even in simple chatting, they don't express themselves well.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about bad spelling and stuff. I mean, they come across as being completely different than they really are. And that can happen. So you might seem like the biggest jerk, and everything you say or type comes across as being arrogant or elitist or something like that. And then you meet them, and they're the nicest person you ever met. They just don't know how to write. And, you know, that can happen. And, that would be too bad, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's your actions online, though, that I think distinguish you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to sit there and ask the same question over and over and over and over and over until someone gives you an answer, you know, you're not going to be well liked. But if, you know, you don't phrase it well and you have to rephrase it a bunch of times before people understand, I think that sort of thing can be, you know, forgiven easily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there's a little bit of a second chance built in with these online reputations, actually. You meet people in real life, and yeah, I don't think you're going to, unless it's a extreme case, I don't think you're going to just walk away from someone who's been mean online or has been a jerk online. I think you're going to probably talk to them and see how they are in real life. And then if they turn out to be the exact same way, then you walk away from them and try to avoid them for the rest of the conference or whatever. But I do think there's a little bit of a second chance there.
Well, I mean, that may be true. I don't know. But I know I wouldn't react that way. I mean, I'm not, again, there are a couple of names that if I found out that was them, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. And in fact, I would, you know, I might follow them out to their car and give them a flat tire, you know?
Sheesh, really?
I'm spiteful. Maybe I'm spiteful. I don't know. But my point is that their reputation is real to me, you know? And if they bring it into the real world, then they're bringing that shit too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I would still give them a second chance. It's just the way I am, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you're a nice guy. You know, I'm not.
Apparently.
Thank you for listening to Information Underground. Our website is www.info-underground.net. Our email address is theusualsuspects@info-underground.net. For show notes, see the link that accompanies the file download at our webpage. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Take care. Information Underground is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share-alike license. Commercial use, as well as derivative works, are permitted under this license. Our theme music is an excerpt from the song Data Transfer Protocol off the album Mechanical Monkeys, and it is used under Creative Commons Attribution Share-alike Unported license.